kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Which I think is an important one for us to consider and look at. And I've not preached a lot on this for a time, so I think it's very applicable. And the title today is Steps to Our Healing. Steps to Our Healing. I think we are well established in the Word that God has provided healing in the atonement for the whole being, mind, body, and spirit. And many want to embrace today healing for the mind, healing for the inner man, the heart. But when it comes to the flesh, it starts to get controversial, doesn't it? And that is simply telling us the state of Christendom and how through the ages, the history of the church, how without the baptism of the Spirit, it has fallen into depths of unbelief and confusion, and above all, relying on the arm of the flesh. But the good news is we are in the times of restoration, and God bringing us back now by the power of his Spirit. And I read that prophecy, the dream that our sister had, and very clearly in it, it reveals that it is by the power and the Spirit of God restoring us back. It is not in our own efforts, in our own ideas, or trying it, or whatever it would be. This work of restoring and bringing us back to God's Word and living by the Word is by the Spirit of God. And this takes us a while to learn this, because we are being delivered from the fact that we have for so many years lived in this life in our own strength, in our own intellect, our education, and what our parents have taught us, and so on. And we know that this deliverance takes a while, and we're aware, aren't we, that Rome was not built in a day. So we're going to look today, Steps to Our Healing, and I trust this will be a blessing, as it was to me, as the Lord unfolded this. I would like you to turn to Matthew 15 and verse 21. Matthew 15 and verse 21 onwards. Again, you know these teachings very well, but it is amazing, isn't it, when the Holy Spirit anoints, how he can unfold things that we've not quite seen before. So we're looking firstly at Matthew 15, and we'll take it up from verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre in Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. There's much contained within that that tells us why it is we don't always get healed. We're calling this teaching today Steps to Our Healing. There are always steps to our healing. Did you know that, brothers and sisters? It's the idea that you are being brought before someone of importance. This is really what this is indicating here. This is somebody who's coming before somebody very important. She's recognized that with this man, Jesus, there is something different about him. He's not like the religious system. He's not like the religious leaders. He's not like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and so on. He's not like a false prophet. There's something that draws me to him. And we notice that she worships. Let's break this down and let's have a look at this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Well, she is a Gentile. So Christ didn't come for the Gentiles. He came for his own people, the Jews. But of course, what is happening in Jesus's ministry, he's seeing something happening before his eyes. Many of those who should have embraced and received him as their Messiah indeed were not. And we're beginning to see glimpses of God's plan and mind and wisdom being unfolded for salvation. We are beginning to see here where God was going to graft the Gentiles into the vine. This is telling us something. Now, most were blinded to what this was telling us, that Jesus was beginning to turn to the Gentiles. And so we see the woman of Canaan came and she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." She's calling him Master, Lord. She is seeing something divine, something different. She's saying, "Have mercy on me." Can you not see what is happening here? Like everything else with our faith unlocks the revelation of who God is. It always has to be faith to receive the higher revelation and understanding of God. You cannot read the Word of God unless you believe it. The believing is the revelation that is needed to understand how the Spirit of God is leading. That is why so many give up on the Word of God, or give up on Christianity, or give up on God, because they do not have that revelation. And you have to have it. You cannot be saved unless you believe upon the gospel, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our revelation. And here this woman says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Who was telling her that? Who was revealing her to say those words? Here he is ministering like he does, teaching the people. This woman has a need. You have a need. I have a need. Nothing changes in life. And the first thing that comes out of her mouth is, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She has seen who this man was. Here he is amongst his own people, the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes. Were they seeing? Not at all. But she's seeing, have mercy, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon possessed. Oh, I love that. She's not coming before God. Oh, my daughter's got some syndrome, some medical condition. She knew exactly what the problem was. Demons, infirmities. And look how far we're removed today in our medical science, in all the developments and technology that we have. And we call everything now a syndrome. She had got it right. She had seen spiritually the problem. We don't see that today. No. We make it so complex, so difficult. And that's why we throw all these drugs at everything. No. She saw exactly what was wrong with her daughter. She was demon possessed, ill. She knew what was causing the problem, the very devil himself. And we need, as a church, as a people, to come back to that discerning. We listen too much to all these medical reports and what the doctors and nurses and physicians tell us. They're blinded by the simplicity of the problems diagnosing today. No, she's severely demon possessed. But he answered her not a word. Wow. How often does it seem when we go before God, it seems as though he doesn't answer us. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. She's a problem. She's crying out. Do you not know who she is? She's a Gentile. She's a dog. But you see, Jesus doesn't listen to all of that. He's listening to what his Father's saying. He's walking by the Spirit. And not by emotions, not by listening to other voices. He's clearly being led by the Spirit. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Which is absolutely right what he's saying. He came first to the house of Israel that was lost. He came as their king, Messiah. But here we're beginning to see where Israel is rejecting, turning away from their Messiah. They cannot accept him because he's not come how they hoped he would come. He has not come being a leader, delivering them from the oppression of the Romans. He's coming like a lamb to them. It's offensive. He's poor. He's born in a stable. He's mixing amongst the poor, the lepers, the tax collectors. It's all offensive. And that's why they rejected him. And nothing changes, brothers and sisters. There's nothing new under the sun. Human nature, the heart is still the same. And Christendom still does the same. Christendom still rejects the gospel, the purity of God's word, because they find it offensive. Are you getting it? Our steps to our healing. Then she came and worshipped him. So she not only has come asking for mercy, O Lord, discerning who he is, the son of David, Messiah, she's seen, and she's not stopping there at what he has said. She comes and worships. She bows down. She abases herself before him. Lord, help me. She's not worried what people are thinking, whether she's looking disgraceful or humiliating herself. Not at all. She's now worshiping the Lord, humbling herself, bowing the knee, abasing herself, a dog in his presence. If it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So Jesus speaks out, he's saying, well, why should I heal you? The healing is for the children, it's the children's bread. I've come for my own people. That's healing for them. Why should I throw this away? He says it's not good to throw bread to the dogs. And listen to what she says. And she said, yes, Lord. She agrees. She doesn't argue with him. But even the little dogs, they have to eat. They have to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. He is so encouraged by that. Is God encouraged by what comes out of your mouth as you humble yourself and bow the knee in his presence? Do you hear him say, great is your faith? Do you know why that woman's faith is so great? Because she humbled herself before him. She knew it had to take the power of God, the Spirit of God, in which to deal with this. That's why she was understanding what faith is about, in which to get healed. And she made her requests known to him. He doesn't answer her straight away, as we see there. Doesn't that remind you of the persistent widow that kept knocking at the door until she knocked and knocked? And the master gets up, he says, I've got to answer this door. This woman will drive me mad. She's not going to give up. These are types of lessons for us to learn before Almighty God. Yes, it seems as though God hasn't heard you first time, but you keep at it. You keep knocking. You keep with your knees bowed. You worship him. You praise him in that attitude, and God will open. Half the time he's testing you. Do you not see that? He's testing you to see, are you really wanting this? Are you desperate? Do you have a need? Now, why does God do this? It's not because we're dogs. It's not because it's not for us. We're now grafted into the vine. He's doing it to get to your faith, my faith. Your faith, my faith, needs it. Now, don't get your mind into it. Don't try and understand it. But your faith needs to persist and knock sometimes. This is the way it increases. God knows what he's doing with our faith, brothers and sisters. Trust me. I know it doesn't make any sense at times. Sometimes we do become offended. Well, why should I keep knocking all the time? Is God deaf? No, he isn't. He's testing you. He's getting to your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11. We know that. And that is what he's doing. And he certainly does it with regard to healing, which is supernatural in our lives. But we notice also she came and worshipped before him. Now, what does that tell us? It says that you make yourself ready, just like Esther made herself ready. She said, I'll either live or die in what I'm about to do, because if that scepter doesn't go out to me, I'm a dead woman. But she made herself ready, purified herself to go before the presence of the king. And we do exactly the same. And then the scepter goes out, make your request known. And that's when you know you have been heard. And this woman knew she was being heard because the spiritual scepter went out before her. And what is that telling us? Your request is made known. Say what you want and it will be done. That is faith. And that is why sometimes we have to persist. We have to keep with it because the scepter, the royal scepter, hasn't gone out yet. So that is another reason why you keep before God, praising, worshipping, thanking him, knocking, being in his presence. You'll know when that scepter goes out, because I tell you what follows it, your healing, your deliverance. And remember, she was a Gentile partaking of the children's bread. These are all indications pointing to what Christ was going to do at the cross. Hallelujah. You have to touch Almighty God. Let's turn to some other accounts of this. Let's turn to Luke. We've got various accounts of this story. And it's good to see them all. Wait a minute, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 17, 19. Luke chapter 6, 17, 19. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for the power went out from him, and he healed them all. So he's beginning to move now in Judea, Jerusalem. He's now going to Sidon, Tyre, and so on, now into Gentile quarters and everything, to heal their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Notice they know what they're dealing with in the way of sickness, disease. They have more insight to what affects human flesh than ever we have today with all our drugs and all our technology and so on. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. They knew he was divine. They knew that even if they could touch him, they would be healed. And he knew they were being healed. How do we know? It says power went out from him and healed them all. So God was giving a sign to Christ, his son, that God was healing because power was going from him and so on. Now let's look at Mark's version of healing. We've already looked at Matthew 15. Let's turn now to Mark 7, 27. See, I like to harmonize the Gospels so that you get a very clear understanding of what God is revealing here and what he wants us to know. Mark 7 and verse 24. Let's take it up. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she came to her house, she found the demon gone out of her daughter, laying on the bed. Here we see again how the Lord works with regard to healing. And this is why I'm calling this Steps to Our Healing. We've got to learn to understand this. It is not just a quick prayer. It is not just a quick 5 minutes seeking God or whatever it is. You have to prepare yourself to go before the Lord and wait on him in humility, in confession, and wait as the Holy Spirit begins to lead and guide you for your healing. That is why these stories are here for us to learn. It's all in the Word of God. You have to understand whom you are coming before to make your requests known unto the Lord. And of course, she again received healing for her daughter. God is in complete control in this whole situation. The same as whatever trials you're going through, God is in complete control. And what he is doing, he's working through your circumstances, he's working through your trials, he's working through your everyday walk with him to bring you to that place of healing and manifestation. This is how God does it. This is why it is a walk, a daily walk with the Lord, in fellowship, in covenant with him. And if your healing didn't happen today, then tomorrow, the next week, whenever, it will happen, because faith has that expectancy within your heart. You are walking each day toward the manifestation of your healing. If you are meeting the conditions of what he's revealing and showing. We have read many times, haven't we, what we're being delivered from. We know what God is bringing us out from, out of this last generation. No wonder God has to do the work and deliverance that he's doing. Let's read it again to remind ourselves. We've read it many times, but in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. Remember, the apostle writing to Timothy brings this out because this letter is to the churches. This is why this letter is in the Bible. It is speaking to us. I've heard many Christians who said about 2 Timothy 3, oh, that's speaking to the world. It's speaking about what we were and everything. No, it's not. It's speaking about what God is doing in delivering us from. And here it is. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We're living in the last days, brothers and sisters. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You were all of that until Christ came and put a stop to that in your life and my life. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So there it is, it's speaking to the house of God, and from such people turn away. And so they turn away because they're not willing to bow the knee, to get delivered from all that is listed there. They carry on in their hypocrisies, having a form of godliness, building their own ministries, going out preaching and teaching, but they're not delivered from this stuff here. And that's what God is doing with you and I. That is our deliverance he's bringing us from, that had affected us, hindered us, and so on. And that's why I say you stay with it. You keep coming. You allow the Spirit to do that deliverance, that healing within the heart. Because he says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And sadly, you find these people around in Christendom. Oh, they go to all the meetings. They're very devout. They listen to all the teaching, but they are never learning. What's happening here? They're not growing in faith. Why are they not? Because it's all catalogued here. They're lovers of themselves. They are covetous. They love money. They can't tell the truth because they're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They're not good to their parents. They're not thankful people. They're unholy. They don't know about love. They're unloving, unforgiving. They hold resentments, anger against people. They slander secretly. They don't have a self-control about them. They despise that which is good. Or they give a nice smile. Oh yes, as though I'm with you, but they're not with you. They're traitors. They don't like things that are good. You know why? Because it exposes the hypocrisies in them. Does it all sound familiar? They're traitors. They'll betray you. They're not faithful. They're headstrong. Proud, in other words, haughty. They love pleasures rather than they love God. And sadly, the house of God is filled with that. And we wonder why there isn't healing for the body. I said there were steps to our healing. And this is how God removes all of this stuff out of our lives. Because he doesn't want us to have a form of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, they don't really have the power of the Spirit of God that creates this healing in our bodies. And so they water down the gospel. They make it intellectual, but they don't have the signs that follow. And God is delivering us in FGA, that we have the signs that follow the word, the ministry. Can you see what God is doing with us? And that woman, she received healing for her daughter because she bowed down. She acknowledged. She humbled herself. She had a revelation of who he was, and so on. And when the Lord said, but it's not for you, healing is for the children, it's the children's bread, she had an answer. She wasn't flippant, defiant. She revealed, yes, I'm a dog, but even dogs have to eat. And God marveled at that. The humility. A lot of people who would be called a dog would be absolutely offended. How dare you say such a thing? And we do it. It's still in us. And can you not see why God is still working, delivering us? That haughtiness, that pride has to go. If we want our healing. And this is why I've always said, as I close now, in the scriptures it reveals you are saved, and the other side of the coin is you are being saved. And that is why God is working this deliverance. He's removing all these hindrances to our faith, because he wants faith to work. He wants to reveal himself, that he is the same today, that he changes not, with the needs that are around us. But if it doesn't start with us, brothers and sisters, it's never going to start in the world. Trust me. And we all of us have needs in FGA. A lot of us have need of physical healing. But it's only going to come when we learn the steps of our faith to our healing. And we've got to, it's like these steps are like a ladder. You've got to climb up a ladder, and you have to go up each plateau. Each step leads higher. And that's what it is in our lives. That is what it is to our healing. We take one step in which to go on to the next step and the next step. But what is it doing? It's taking us higher and taking us nearer to who? Jesus. And that is why God is simplifying our faith. Our faith is still too complicated, cluttered, with the junk of this world, and much of it is lies. Do you know a lot of medical science now, there's so much lies that are attached to it. It's become so complicated, so clever, so proud, that none of them agree anymore. There's the confusion we find. And we think it's all so clever, all so sophisticated. And look at the simplicity of what's going on here. Look at the discernment this woman had. She knew exactly what was wrong with her daughter. And we've lost all insight to these physical ailments and sickness. We have to call it what it is, because it's what the word of God says it is. And God doesn't make a mistake. We do, but God doesn't. Why am I stressing this? Because when God calls you to heal and lay hands on the sick, you need to know and have the revelation of God by the Spirit and by the word of God what it is you are dealing with. God wants you to know you're casting out an infirmity. God wants you to know that you are praying over somebody who's blind. or somebody who has rheumatoid arthritis or cancer or whatever it is, you need to know the spiritual side of what's afflicting there. And of course, it's always from the devil. He comes to destroy, to kill, to maim. That's his job. And we need to come back to what God reveals by the Spirit. That's why he also gives the word of wisdom and a discerning of spirits, for that very purpose. Sometimes when you cast out demons, you have to find out the name of those demons. You have to know if it's a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper has to be dealt with first because it's holding the rest of those demons in. And many of them have names. Sicknesses, diseases have names. And they have to be identified. That's why they try to camouflage, to hide. They don't want to be exposed. Because once it's brought out into the light, their power, their deception to deceive is broken. This is why I'm always saying, brothers and sisters, when you pray, when you go into warfare and so on, often you need to pray, Lord, bring it out into the light. Expose it that the world will see. The devil hates those prayers. Why? Because Christ is the light of the world. And the church is to be a light set upon a hill. You are a light. And that's why the enemy tries to put it out all the time. In the subtle way that he does. Now we need to get free from this. Come back to the simplicity of God's word. It is not complicated. It is not hard to get healed, physical healing. We make it hard. And if we follow these steps that the Lord is showing us lovingly in his word, then healing, deliverance, salvation is yours. It is God's people's bread. And you don't have to be a Jew to receive it. You can be a Gentile as well, because we have been grafted into the vine. And the promises of God have not changed at all. They are still the same when God gave them. So there we are, brothers and sisters, steps to our healing. I don't know about you, but this stirred something up within me, because God doesn't get it wrong. Yes, the Lord's humbling us, but we wouldn't have it any other way, because he wants to remove all of these hindrances still to our faith. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I just bow my head in absolute shame and abhorrence to think that after all these years, there still can be these hindrances to my faith. But there is the mercy and grace of God. How loving and gentle and merciful he is with us. Why? Because he wants us to get it right. And we get it right for the very reason that it glorifies his name. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the deliverance that is in this word today. May each of us experience it and enter into the blessing of this, because there are needs within the body. And Lord, you have provided it, but we're still slow at learning whom we come before. We try still to reduce you down to our level and thinking and mindset. But we are coming before an awesome, mighty, holy God. Father, place that within our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy fall.